I'm normally a busy person. I have a schedule and a calendar that's just full, mostly good things. Work, meetings, church. It's also full of things like my kids' activities, baseball, basketball, ballet for my daughter. My wife works, and so her schedule is full of meetings and full of other activities. We both volunteer in a variety of places, and so our schedule's full of all those other things that we do that we love, but fill up our time. We're busy people, and in fact, we're so busy that we often have to schedule meetings for me and my wife so that we can plan our calendar. And if we don't put our meeting schedule meeting on the calendar, our life just goes haywire. And I want to be honest with you. I love it. I love being busy. I love the feeling of having things to do. I love the feeling of saying yes to people when they want to have an early morning breakfast meeting. I love the feeling of going to eat with a friend who stopped into town. And although I didn't have room for it on my schedule, we go out to lunch for 3 hours. I love being able to be at my kids' activities at night and to go to baseball practices and games and to watch them have fun and enjoy life. I love it. I love being busy. But I have another confession. It is exhausting. In fact, I'm just tired of being so busy. And I think the world feels this way. In fact, we all celebrate our busyness as a badge of honor. If you look on Facebook or Instagram, you see people posting pictures of all their activities, and it's a way of saying, look how busy I am. Look how much fun we're having. Look how much activities my kids are in. Look at all of our life built around all of these activities. Look at how wonderful it is. But all of us know behind those pictures are parents and kids that are exhausted and stressed out. Because all of these activities are fun, but they're all draining on us. Because busy is normal. Because we think that if we are busy, we are successful. We are important. We are needed. And because busy is normal, none of us seem to want to pause and think, maybe we were not made to be so busy. Now, all of us got a big, big wake-up call over these past few months when the world stopped. When we were all sent home, all of our activities were canceled. Many of us were sent home from even our jobs and told to work from home or told that we don't have a job right now. All of our spring events and activities that had us double booked and running across town back and forth, all of that went away almost in an instant. And our life of busyness stopped. Now, I think that we have an opportunity to not so quickly go back to this busy is normal kind of life. Because remember how exhausting busy was. I have a theologian that I read from time to time, and I've only ever read one book that he wrote. He wrote many, many books. He's a professor at Asbury Theological Seminary. His name is Wayne Muller. But one particular book that he wrote that I've read over and over is a book called Sabbath. And he writes this, and I want to read a section from that book, and I want to see if this resonates with you at all. Listen to this. He writes, "We meet dozens of people, and we have so many conversations. We do not feel how much energy we spend on each activity because we imagine we will always have more energy at our disposal. This one little conversation, this one extra phone call, this one quick meeting, what can it cost? but it does cost. It drains yet another drop of our life. And then at the end of days, weeks, months, and years, we collapse, we burn out, and we can't quite see where it happened. It happened in 1,000 unconscious events and tasks and responsibilities that seemed easy and harmless on the surface, but that each one after the other used up a small portion of our precious life. Busyness can be exhausting. And in this time of pandemic and quarantine and staying at home, maybe you've gotten a glimpse of what life might be like if we were less busy. How much more energy we might have if it wasn't drained by all these really good things, but that all piled together drains all of our energy and life away. Maybe in this time of isolation, you've spent more time with your family, more time with your spouse, more time by yourself than you've had in years. Maybe you've slept in a little bit more. Maybe you've gone on longer walks. Maybe you have enjoyed this rhythm of life, and part of you may be dreading going back to normal and filling that calendar back with all of those activities. And if you felt that tension, if you have felt that longing between the busyness that your life used to be, the way that your life is now, and that tension between getting back to normal, then maybe what you've really been feeling is a little piece of how God has made each of us, a desire for Sabbath. I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 5, in which Moses is outlining a retelling of the Ten Commandments. And so in Exodus, we get the Ten Commandments, and then there's a reiteration of them, so to speak, a telling again of them in Deuteronomy, right before the people are about to enter the promised land. And in this chapter, we get a reminder of the commandment to observe Sabbath. Listen to this. "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female servants, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the immigrant in your town, so that your male and female servant may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day." Keeping a Sabbath day, one whole day without any work, this was a hallmark of the Jewish identity. The people of Israel understood themselves to be commanded into this rhythm of life in which they would work for 6 days and then do absolutely nothing for one whole day. And what's interesting is this command extends out of the original covenant in Exodus, the original covenant as the people are fleeing from Egypt, and they come to the covenant and they are commanded to do this. And as they wander in the wilderness, they continue to keep Sabbath. And after 40 years, right before they're about to enter the promised land, God reminds them about the need to keep this Sabbath day, to do no work. And there are actually two reasons given. In Exodus, when the command is first given, they're told, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy because God rested on the seventh day of creation." that God created all things in 6 days, and on the seventh day God rested. Therefore you shall rest. And then in Deuteronomy, there's an addition to that, where God says, this will also be an opportunity for you to remember when you were a slave in Egypt, and you did not have the freedom to rest. But now you are free. Free to rest. And so the Sabbath had this dual meaning, this dual importance, to remember the power of God's creation and how all of our life is a gift of God and how all that we have we need to depend upon God for, the creator of the universe. And so we rest in recognition of His sovereignty and of His creation. And we rest to remember a significant part of our story, of how when we found ourselves in bondage, God delivered us to freedom. So rest, stop, do nothing. Refrain from the busyness of life. Keep a Sabbath. Now, one of the interesting things is this made the Jewish people kind of stand out in the pagan world. You see, back in Bible times, there was no weekend. Everybody worked every day, from sunup to sundown, every day of the week, except the Jews. This odd little religious community stopped working one whole day of the week, gave up the productivity, gave up all of the things they could do to get ahead for the next week. They had the audacity to leave work, go home, and be with their family. So it made them stand out. It made them odd. It made them, and remember, friends, this is my favorite theological word ever, it made them weird. It was weird not to work. I kind of think it's the same way now. It's weird not to be busy. It's weird not to have your entire calendar full of activities. It's weird not to get up early to do extra work that you didn't get done yesterday, to get your kids wherever they need to be, to get to work on time, to work a full day, then to stay late, take work home, work all night, go and volunteer and be involved in all this life. It's weird if you don't do that, because we are designed, we think, to be busy, but the reality of it is God has made us to be people of the Sabbath. Now, it's also important to understand what Sabbath is not. So, Sabbath is not a time to catch up on errands, a time to get all the things done at your home that you haven't been able to do. The Jews were prohibited from any activity, any kind of sense of work, even if it was masquerading under the guise of things like chores or working around the house. Now, what's important to understand this is in a different culture and world, there wasn't a lot of other things for people to do. But Sabbath was commanded to get away out of the work and routine and that stress of having to be productive. Rather, instead, it was to focus on other things, focus on spiritual things, focus on a life that will be lived beyond the work of the present age. What's interesting is if you look at what specific acts were prohibited, the Old Testament lists 39 specific actions that you should not do on the Sabbath. Most notably are these. You should not sow in your garden, plow your field, reap, thresh, winnow, grind, sift, knead, bake, spin, weave, hunt, slaughter, build, hammer, or transport anything. That seems like a pretty odd list. But what's fascinating is if you flip back over to Leviticus and you look at the section in the book of Leviticus where God is commanding the people to build the temple, the actions that he lists for them to do are these same things. To build the temple, you need to do these 39 things. But on the Sabbath day, don't do any of them. Another way to look at that is God is saying, you are my people. And it's so important for you to rest that it's not even necessary for you to work on building my temple that day. Stop that. As modern Christians, we've come to associate Sabbath with Sunday. And there's a lot of good history around that, and don't worry, this sermon is not about that. But Sundays, and this is just me, because I'm a professional Christian, Sundays can be some of the busiest and most stressful days. Trying to get kids dressed, trying to get people fed, trying to get to church, not so late that it's obvious that we're late. Trying to understand everything that's going on and then thinking about all the other stuff I've got to do that afternoon to get ready for the week ahead. Sundays can be really busy days. And God is saying, you know what, Sabbath is so important. I want you to understand that you need to rest even from the work of the sacred temple. Stop. Rest. Enter into a new rhythm of life. Now, it's also important to understand that Sabbath is not like how my grandmother, who grew up in the 1920s, and her dad, my great-grandfather, was a Disciples of Christ minister, and he took Sabbath very seriously, and they did nothing. My grandmother often talked about how they would sit and stare at each other for hours on end because Sabbath was a day of rest. But if you actually look at a lot of the Jewish rabbinical teaching around the time of Jesus and after, Sabbath was not supposed to be a dull, boring day, but it was a day that was supposed to be focused on renewal, focus on restoration. It was a day where you were supposed to have fun, but you were not supposed to work. And so, playing games with your family, reading a book, taking a walk in nature, all of that that brings renewal and restoration, that's supposed to be done on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be restful, and it's supposed to renew our souls, and it's supposed to remind us that we should have a different relationship to work and a different relationship to one another than the rest of the world does. We're not supposed to be so busy that we are exhausted, so busy that we're stressed out, so busy that we don't have any room to reflect on the deep things of God. Also, when we read about Sabbath in some of the early rabbinical literature, this one thing that stood out to me that I just can't seem to shake goes back to those initial Ten Commandments, right? So keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments of God that we're supposed to do. And you may remember some of the other ones. And what the rabbis pointed out is that the Ten Commandments really are two parts. The first section is about our relationship to God. Worship the Lord our God and worship only Him. Do not make any graven images or false idols. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. All of that is about our relationship with God. Then there's this other section of the commandments that are about how we relate to one another, right? Honor your parents. Do not lie. Do not steal from others. Don't covet what other people have. Do not murder. It's all about our relationships with others. And they pointed out that in the middle, the linchpin that connects that first half of of how we relate to God, and that second half of how we relate to one another, in the middle there is the commandment to keep Sabbath, to stop and rest and reset our life. Because you can't have right relationship with God if you don't have good relationships with your neighbors, and you can't have good relationships with your neighbors if you don't understand how to rightly relate to God. And it takes at least one day a week to pause and reflect. How am I doing in my relationship to God? Am I loving God? Am I honoring God? Am I thanking God? But also, how am I doing with my neighbors? Am I honoring them? Am I in right relationship with them? Am I loving them? Or is my life so busy, so captured by all of the good things that leave me drained and exhausting? Am I lashing out at my neighbors for going too slow in front of me at the grocery store? Am I neglecting my prayer life? Am I neglecting my relationship with God because I go to church? It's on the calendar. God says, one day a week, stop. And on that day, reconnect with the God who made you, that you might love that God more fully. And then be able to go out and to love your neighbors as I have commanded you to. The Sabbath is not just about us, but it's also how God has designed the whole world to function rightly, to rest and remember that everything we have is a gift of God, and rest and remember how we are supposed to love others in light of the God who made us all. Of course, another way to think about it is, in the Gospels, when Jesus is asked, what commandment is the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. And in a world that is full of busyness, we can lose sight of both of those. And so God says, stop. Rest. Remember what I have done for you. And remember all of the people in this world. I want them to know me just as much as you do. So, right now, we're pretty close to returning to life as normal. Many of you have already started going back to work. The routines of life will come back around. At some point in the summer, baseball leagues will start back up and kids' activities will start going again. At some point in time, our church will start to gather again in person, and all of the fun activities that we do together will pile back on. And you'll be tempted to go back to normal. Because, remember what? Busy is normal. But what if you didn't? What if you didn't go back to normal? What if you kept up those evening family walks after dinner? Meaning you might have to give up some activities and some meetings and some volunteering, but you give them up so that you can walk with your family? Maybe you give up the need to always please your boss by working ahead and working overtime, because it's more important for you to be home, to eat with your spouse. Maybe you're a manager or a supervisor, and you've decided it's more important for my employees to not work themselves to death just so that I get to please my boss. And so you don't make them come in on Saturday to get ahead on this project. What if you made the decision to rest? Because I know that it's probably hard for you to give up a whole day. I'm not asking you to do that right now. I'm asking you to spend these last few weeks of this time of quarantine or isolation. Spend these last few weeks of however much time we have left to decide what of this life I'm going to take with me into a new normal. Because God made you to rest. God did not make you just to be busy. God made you to love Him and to love your neighbor. And He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you need the rest. And after 8 weeks of living in this different rhythm, this slower pace, this less than busy normal life, maybe God's gotten your attention. And maybe it's time to say no to normal, to not rush back in to the busyness, to recapture a bit of that ancient wisdom of God, that you were made to rest because God is still God and God will still take care of you and the work will still be there tomorrow. But there are more important things than being busy. And you were made for so much more than normal. Amen.